Ladies and gentlemen, tonight again, Maxwell House presents for your pleasure Miss Milica Korgis, the sensational singing star of the Great Waltz. For her first number, she has chosen the most celebrated aria for voice and flute, the famous mad scene from Lucia di Lammermoor. Miss Korgis.
That was indeed beautiful, Milica.
Thank you.
You know, we have tickets for you at the preview tonight.
Preview tonight? What tickets?
Joan Crawford and Jimmy Stewart and Lou Ayres, The Ice Follies of 1939.
Oh, that is wonderful. I shall come, I thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, hello, dear. Oh, she's charming. What's all this ice talk, young?
Ice Follies preview tonight, Westwood.
Oh, yes, something with skating, isn't it?
Only the best skaters in the world, that's all. Oh. Ever hear of Bess Earhart, Roy Shipstead, Shipstead and Johnson? They're just a few of the famous skaters in the picture.
Well, they finally put them in pictures. I always told my pupils they'd make good someday. That's very gratifying.
Your pupils.
it.
Morgan, I bet you couldn't stand up on a pair of snowshoes.
My boy, I suspect you're trying to goad me into telling of my experiences with the Royal Canadian Northwest Mounted Police.
Canada now.
But I just refuse to talk.
Frank, you're not impressing anybody. Melissa has left the stage. Why should you start to make up a broken-down lie about how you were a Canadian flatfoot?
Sir, you're addressing Morgan of the Mounted.
Oh.
The bravest officer that ever caught a crook, skinned a skunk, and trapped a trapper.
Huh?
Oh, Bob, I wish you could have seen me in those days. 6'2" of muscle, brains, and beats.
I'll take 5 cents worth of dog meat.
You want to eat it here? I say, you did it to me. What were we talking about?
Get back into your uniform, Lieutenant.
Yes, well, I'll never forget my first assignment after I was sworn in, Bob. There I was, just a green kid with a brain like a steel trap, a magnificent physique, and a heart that feared nothing. I'd rush into any kind of dangerous situation without a thought and come out unscathed. In those days, I was part lion, part bull.
We're into that part now, folks.
Yes. Young, do you know there are newspapers that pay $2 apiece for quips?
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Let's hear about your first assignment, Sarge.
Well, I was stationed at an obscure outpost called Naskawaska. It was a beautiful spot high in the snow-covered hills, far from the hurly-burly of the cities. Oh, Canada, I love thy frozen peaks.
Hey, what is this frozen peak, Frank? A new candy bar?
Young, you have no feeling for poetry. I was trying to convey to you something of the awe-inspiring dignity of Naskawaska. My little cabin was completely shut off from the civilized world, except for a telephone, a radio, and Lowe's Naskawaska, 2 blocks away. Every Wednesday was moose night.
Did you ever win?
Just once. I was the lucky ticket holder, and I took home a 1,500-pound four-point moose.
Four's a tough point.
Well, I made it the hard way. Wait a minute. What is this? We're going too far. What are we talking about?
I don't know. Something you picked up at Lowe's Naskawaska.
Oh, yes. I said. She couldn't resist my uniform. I happened to sit next to her in a Lowe's seat one afternoon.
Right.
When I was up. What?
You were talking about a moose that you won with a lucky ticket.
Oh, the moose with a lucky ticket. Well, I presented my stub, and they gave me the moose on a halter. He trotted quietly home behind me, and I tied him up in the kitchen. Magnificent animal. He would have kept me in fresh meat all winter, but I didn't have the heart to kill him.
Why not?
Well, there was something about his face that appealed to me. The worried look of a hunted animal, a gleam of nervous frenzy with suffering underneath. Bob, have you ever looked a moose in the eye?
No, Frank. What does a moose look like?
Well, like Hanley Stafford with antlers.
All right, you've got Hanley tied up in your kitchen. What happened?
Well, we lived there together for several weeks, as friendly as you please. I no longer had to keep him tied up, and he used to eat breakfast and supper with me. Of course, it was winter, and I had to keep all the windows closed, so pretty soon the atmosphere grew a little. It was tense.
So, the moose left.
Yes. No, I left. I was transferred from Naskawaska to a more important post in Chillawanda.
Well, you must have felt great about that.
Well, yes, I like being successful. But it was sad to break the many happy associations I had made in Naskawaska. The sheriff, the postmaster, the keeper of the general store, and most of all, little Snarkbo.
Snarkbo? Oh, gee.
Snarkbo was a little Eskimo girl, pretty as an igloo. I mean, a picture. She was the only Eskimo in the town, so she was kind of, lonesome, till I got there. She kept all the native customs, ate raw fish and tallow, spoke only Eskimo, and made her living by harpooning seals.
You understood this Eskimo, Frank?
Oh, every word. And when I left, I handed her a present that I knew would delight her Eskimo heart.
Blubber?
Well, she cried a little. Oh, you mean blubber? No, I gave her a package of Eskimo pies.
Yeah, fair enough. So you're off at Chillawanda. Was it cold up there?
Pretty cold. The day before I got there, a fellow bent down to tie his shoe and froze to death. They had to bury him in a bass drum. That's beside the point. I was soon to have my great adventure.
What was it?
Well, I had barely unpacked my duffel and settled in my cabin when a flash came over my shortwave radio from the Dominion Chief. I can still hear the machine spluttering. Calling General Morgan. Calling General Morgan.
General?
Well, I'd been promoted for my work in Naskawaska. It was an urgent call, practically an SOS. An epidemic had sprung up in a town 300 miles to the north, and serum was needed immediately. Well, sir, I got the serum from the Chilliwanda dispensary at once, harnessed my 8 huskies to a sledge, and started north that very afternoon.
You were really in a hurry, huh?
My boy, speed was the essence. I whipped my huskies mercilessly toward the pass in the teeth of a blinding blizzard. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face.
Well, how did you know where you were going?
Well, I stayed on U.S. 101 all the way. I can't bear to tell you of the 1,000 hardships I conquered, Bob, but the worst disaster of all caught up with me just as I was on the point of reaching safety. A pack of hungry wolves.
Oh, that's the end.
No, not yet. I knew that wolves were cannibals, so if I could kill one of them without stopping, the others would stop to devour him and give me a chance to get ahead. Mm-hmm. I aimed carefully over my shoulder and picked off the lead wolf.
Good shot, Frank.
Well, not bad. He staggered and fell, and the pack stopped with him. It was horrible. But within 10 minutes, they had caught up with me again. I could hear them snarling. I could almost feel their fangs in my throat.
The what?
Fangs, fangs.
You're welcome.
My dogs mushed on bravely under my whistling lash with its 9 leather thongs.
It's what?
Thongs, thongs.
You're welcome.
I looked back at the wolves and took another shot, then another and another. I took a 5th shot. And it was empty.
The gun?
No, the bottle. In the next 10 miles, I killed 9 wolves, and each one was eaten in turn. Finally, the whole pack was inside of one ferocious wolf, and he wanted Morgan for a dessert.
What a dish.
Well, the wolf was very hungry. By this time, my dogs were exhausted, but so is. Needless to say, I outwitted him and got through the serum.
Now, wait a minute. What about the last wolf?
Oh, yes, that's right. Bob, did you ever notice that handsome fur coat I wear to previews?
The wolf?
No, I got it at Magnum's on Dollar Day. Well, so long.